is your place. This is where you'll serve America best. Your future's in the sky. You see, the way the Air Force Reserves feel about it, they're fighting and they're flying for the safety of our people at home, our mothers and fathers and our sisters and brothers. America will have overwhelming superiority in the air.
Hello, everyone. This is Colonel Gormley, 507th Air Fuel and Wing Commander, and with
Chief Wiseman, 507th Command Chief.
This is episode 8.
Ocho.
Oh, I was going to say that. I literally was about to say Ocho.
I'm not trying to finish your sentences.
And that wasn't planned. I was, because today is, today, the recording is Cinco de Mayo. And last night, I was on the phone with my wife, and I go, does Cinco de Mayo, is it fall on the 5th this year? I think I said this story before.
Actually, this was one of the very first stories. So I think this is a routine. Right. No, there's no editing here. No, this is for real. This is routine every year.
Yeah. Every year I ask the same question with my wife. Is it on the 6th or 7th or is it 4th this year? And she just doesn't respond anymore. But we're having a big Cinco de Mayo fiesta on the 7th. We're going to celebrate on the 7th this year here in the office.
Really?
Yeah. You won't be here for it.
Thanks for not inviting me.
Yeah. Go back to your job. Yeah, go do your thing. I'm going to make what I normally make on Cinco de Mayo, red beans and rice. At least I'm going to bring in something. But the bigger issue here is, or the bigger thing that we're going to kind of celebrate, and maybe not celebrate, but this is your last podcast because you are
retiring.
Holy moly.
I know. So we had a cut in the editing in our podcast here because Colonel Gormley was about to play.
Well, I did play song. And then we couldn't play because we don't have copyright. It's a copyright infringement, but I just played Ain't No Sunshine when he's gone. Ain't No Sunshine When He's Gone.
Yeah, I would cry, but I don't have any tear ducts. So that removed in
screen. That's a must. That's a must with Command Chiefs. No tear ducts. We take them out first UTA.
Hey, I got some exciting news.
Yeah.
Just want to intro this in this podcast, Ocho podcast. We are in the top 200 government podcasts. Can you believe that?
Refuel Radio.
Refuel Radio is in the top 200.
Refuel Radio, as of 9 months ago, wasn't even a thing.
Right.
Because we're on episode Ocho. So in 8 months, basically, we're in the top 200. Now, is that like the United States? What is that?
Well, some of our listeners may think that there's only 200 government podcasts out there.
Oh.
And if we're 199, we're doing better than one of them. However, this is in the world.
So we're a big deal in the war globally. We're a big deal.
I think so. And if you do the research just to be able to validate our statement here, we're just below BBC Persian, if I recall.
I think that makes sense. That would make sense to me. Yeah. I haven't seen the list in the totality, but I just didn't realize that in 8 episodes over an 8-month period. Yeah. The guests we brought in, the discussions we've had, some of the, what we thought was funny wasn't so funny after the fact. People were like, yeah, that really, the frothed milk episode. Yeah. For me, it was a big deal.
I thought it was kind of an important topic.
But you also think you're kind of an important person.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah. I say that all the time in my house too. But,
fun fact, another, fun fact about the podcast for the listeners to hear about. What podcast do you think was the most top performing, most popular podcast that we've done so far?
If you tell me it was the one where I wasn't here, that'll anger me.
I'm not sure if I got the data from last week, but that may be the next top performing, but I'm not sure yet. TBD.
It's not Froth Milk?
I think it's the Froth Milk one.
It is Froth Milk.
Yeah, I think it's the guest that we had with Chief Biff Robinson.
We did Froth Milk with both of them. Yeah. I didn't even think of that.
They had to sit here and endure that conversation.
Yes. Yeah. Biff was like, I'm not sure where this is going. This is a little awkward. He almost left. I remember that comment because he started side-eyeing us when we started talking about froth and milk and whatnot.
But, I think what's interesting about that podcast was that we had over 400 downloads. Now, when I was talking to our public affairs office about that, I told him, I don't download any episode.
I don't even know what that means, to be honest. I'm not sure what download. Yeah. Okay.
So the fact that it got downloaded, people were intentionally listening to it. versus passively. So I appreciate that. So kudos to all of our listeners.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
I would think we have more than three listeners now, even though that's what we've been saying for the last seven podcasts.
Well, I just, you know, all jokes aside, for folks to listen to this, and if it's meaningful and they're getting what we had hoped, and that was our reservists, just our reservists. That's what this is for. It was right. for our reservists.
Absolutely.
From 28 different states coming in, driving, flying, because they're coming from, you know, from Maine to Florida, Washington State to, you know, lower California. Like, right. They're coming from everywhere. And the 20-ish minutes that they have in the car, or, you know, in the plane, that they can listen to this.
Right.
And they don't just get to know us, because I think they've gotten to know us probably too well, but they get to hear from some of the personalities, like that last episode with the two airmen.
Oh,
you know, like,
yeah, if I had to rank at least out of the seven podcasts that we've recorded, I would say that was one of my favorites.
Yeah. I've heard that. Yeah. I've heard that.
Thoroughly enjoyed talking to those two guys. And and actually, Senior Airman Carlin is now Staff Sergeant Carlin. And just got promoted.
That's awesome.
And got to see him at our family day, which I'm sure we'll talk about here real soon. And just kind of gave him a fist bump and congratulations.
In fact, I think he's looking to become a pilot. That's another thing.
Wow.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. So, you know, people in this wing are going places. And that's what we're trying to celebrate.
Right.
You know, while also bringing a little more... and explain why we do some of the things we're doing, where we're going as a wing. I think and there's a lot of different aspects of this Refuel Radio, but I want to give you so much credit in making this happen. I remember the first discussion we had.
Right.
I never think the first thing that when you come up with these wild ideas isn't, oh, that's no way. It's how can we do it? It's always, how do we get to yes?
Right.
I've never once, and that really, it goes for anyone in the wing when we have these ideas, because people are coming to me with these ideas and they're truly like, hey, I think this would, whatever it is, this would rock. And it's always, how do we get to yes?
Right.
That's my first thought.
Right.
And this has just been a, this podcast truly, first it was nerve wracking, but now it's, I can't wait to do it. You know?
Right. Yeah. I can't believe it's going to be my last one. So a lot of internal emotions to this, you know, of just trying to process.
Yep.
Doing the last recording of Refuel Radio. And we kind of intentionally decided to record after the unit training assembly that we had.
Family Day.
For
you
May
bet.
Because of Family Day.
So we were going to do this on Friday prior to Family Day.
Right.
And we decided to hold off because we wanted to see, okay, how's this? It's both our last Family Days here. It was a magnificent turnout. Now, we didn't have anyone. Maybe it was smart to, we should have had someone at the gate because we had a gate guard there.
Right.
Just clicking. We should have done that. But I mean, it was thousands of folks that showed up.
Absolutely.
The smiles on the faces of the families and the kids. It is obvious this place, the culture is alive and vibrant. My son, I told this story at our pre-UTA. My 13-year-old brought his best friend and we woke up. I want to say it was earlier that week. And I remember the first, my son came upstairs. The first thing he said was, "Dad, I cannot wait till this weekend."
Wow.
And that just shows how important, if it's that important for my family, or it's that meaningful that my kids remembered last year's and the years prior, he couldn't wait to get here. And I watched the faces of everyone that was there. When I spoke to them, people had just a fun time together.
Yeah. You know? It was great to see the families around the tables, eating the hamburgers, the hot dogs, the food vendor food, jumping on the bouncy castles and realizing that my aging body will never do a bouncy castle.
Well, I watched my 3-year-old get in there and go crazy. And there's some other kids in there, a little older, so he had to watch himself. Yeah. I was like, stand in the corner, son. Short people, stand in the corners. Just don't get trampled on. I live my life by that. So
I will say one of my favorite memories of it, obviously this Family Day and previous Family Day we had last year, was the dunk tank.
Yeah,
I know that is the buildup is hard for me sometimes because knowing that I'm going to be dunked in the water for 30 minutes.
And it was freezing.
It was freezing.
Wind and it was 70 degrees outside.
But I see the twinkle in the eye of the kids when they come up with a softball and they, I think it's vengeful. I see it. They're just like, oh, I want to get this guy.
We had an Army vet come up. He had his uniform on. He came up and he had a softball and he was ready to throw it. And then he just sprinted up and just pushed the, didn't even throw it. He just pushed it. I didn't know. I thought he was coming after me. Yeah. I thought he was coming to get me, but no, he just pushed. So there were no rules this year. I think people just did what they wanted to do as long as we were in the water.
It was great. First Sergeant Council raised over $600. Goes back to families and that it was almost, that was exceeded last year's donations. So that was such a privilege to be a part of. However, the council thought I needed a floaty. So they blew up this flamingo floaty.
Yep.
And oddly enough, I happen to have flamingo swimming trunks. What?
Did you?
Really? I did. Oh. It was just...
Well, the first time you landed, I think it deflated. I'm pretty sure. Oh. You went in. It was supposed to be...
I've gained a couple pounds because I'm retiring. Okay.
Lindsay
Newton.
She was responsible for it, I think. She kind of put it together.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of the First Sergeant Council, they're all participants either.
Okay,
yeah,
they did such a great First Sergeant Council led by Sergeant Newton.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she sent thank yous to all the folks involved, to include Colonel Milburn, who came out in his poopy suit.
Yeah. Now define to the listeners what a poopy suit is, because when you tell that to me, I'm picturing something different.
So poopy, good call. I didn't think of it like that. Yeah. Poopy suit is something that air crew will utilize if you were to go down in the water. Right. You put this on and it helps keep it's a tight. Tied around your neck, tied around your
ankles, right?
Actually, no, it goes over your feet.
That's right. It's like booties.
And it basically, it's watertight, so the water doesn't get against your skin.
Got it.
And it's going to help with hypothermia. It's going to help with the elements. How's that sound? Mm-hmm. The elements. So he showed up. I was a couple minutes late, and I was like, what? Did he stand me up? Because he said he was going to come. And then here, I took him 10 minutes to get there. I saw him 10 minutes away, but normally it's like a 2-minute walk.
Right.
It took him 10 minutes to get because of that poopy suit, because it's just laborious, walk. So, but
why do they call it a poopy suit, though? Is it because
let's look that up.
If you use the bathroom, you can't get out of it?
What you got to do.
I guess I could see that.
I didn't think of it like that. I didn't anticipate talking about this.
Hello, this is Carter Denton with the 507th Air Refueling Wing Public Affairs Team. Just jumping in here really quick to clarify the poopy suit reference. So for anyone outside of the wing listening or outside of the aviation world, the poopy suit is what our pilots jokingly call their anti-exposure suits. So an anti-exposure suit, sometimes called a survival suit or a dry suit, is basically a full-body waterproof garment that's designed to protect our pilots and air crew from hypothermia in the event of ditching or emergency landing in water. They're designed to keep the wearer dry, and they provide insulation against the cold. The actual origin of the term poopy suit comes from the astronaut program. So it refers to the maximum absorbency garment, which were essentially adult-sized diapers that the NASA astronauts would wear during extended periods like liftoff and landing to absorb their waste. The nickname poopy suit is a pretty crude name for the system, but it was descriptive. So while our pilots hopefully aren't needing those features in their anti-exposure suits, the nickname is stuck is a bit of dark humor given the potential for being stuck in those suits for an extended period in an less than ideal situation.
I will have to encourage those that are listening to go to the 507th Air Wing Facebook page or Instagram. And I believe there's some photos out there of family day.
They're
maybe
everywhere.
They can catch a glimpse of the poopy suit.
Yeah.
Maybe the pink flamingo I wore.
Good on Milburn for having fun with it.
Yeah.
I love the fact he owned that. Yeah. I loved it. So although a couple minutes late, Milburn, a couple minutes late as a tanker pilot, let's not make that the norm, but he came down. He came in style. So thanks to all the folks. Colonel Ridlon, did you see her? She was anticipating it so much. I think I almost want to say she fell in because she just lost her balance, because she would. You know how you anticipate that first throw?
That's right.
And you're so scared because the water's so cold. You're just like, not scared. I shouldn't have said that. How about strike that from the record? I was never scared. I was never scared. But you're sitting on this little diving board looking thing, and someone throws it, and you're anticipating falling in.
Oh, I agree.
And I think I heard rumor was she fell in and it didn't because she was anticipating. That makes me laugh. I saw her fall in.
Well, you sit on the edge of the board.
That's right.
And you're trying to engage your abs, which
it happened to me.
I don't have many abs.
No,
so
no one can see them at least.
It was inevitable.
They might be in there.
It was inevitable. I was going in.
Gotcha. Well, anyway, but I almost fell off too because I get on the edge of that thing too. But anyway, all right. So now episode 8. Couple things I want to play for you. I got a couple people that want to say a few things.
Okay, good. So, this isn't music. This isn't copyrighted.
No copywritten anything. Although
reducing the edits for our public affairs staff.
All right. So I asked all the command chiefs of the SELs, group SELs, to say something.
Wow.
Just quick thank yous, or tell a story, whatever they decided to do. So we will start off with our MXG Chief Smith. So Chief Wiseman, this is Chief Smith. We have five of them we're going to go through.
Wow.
All right. Yeah. Well, your SELs and I got Chief Glover.
Okay.
So, All right. So I'm excited because everyone, and I got all of them, said thank you for just including them because you made such an impression on everyone with the leadership you brought to those SELs.
Wow. That humbles me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks.
So anyway, all right. I'll start off with Chief Smith.
Chief Wiseman, Darren, Chief Smith here. As I sit here trying to think of what to say, all that came to me was, during your hiring process, I was very skeptical about bringing an AMC guy in to be the next command chief of the Okies. Boy, was I wrong. Since the day you arrived on station, your dedication to our airmen was quite apparent. You went out of your way to meet and speak with our youngest airmen at their levels. Your passion for advancement was also very apparent with the creation of the Wing's first NCO Academy. You have also provided leadership with a unique perspective on our highest priority missions. I want to say thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for leading the unit to a better place. And most of all, I want to thank you for being a friend, one that someone can count on. Best of luck in your future endeavors. I'm sure we'll have more conversations working the M4S allocations. I've got your number.
Pretty cool.
Wow.
Pretty cool. And I can
that say, means a lot. That means a lot coming from him.
Yeah, he's not he's a man of few words.
Right.
You know? And I can say this about you and your relationship, your partnership with each of the groups. I have never seen a command chief as engaged and as accepted by the groups and the SELs. I watch it and it's obvious. It's not just the way you speak. It's when you walk in and their reaction and their ease around you. It's and they want your advice and your thoughts and your mentoring. It's obvious.
Yeah. You know? Wow. That was special.
Thanks, Chief Smith. All right. The next we have is Chief Stanton.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. There's a little Southern accent in here.
Okay.
And he's got
Does he need an interpreter?
Yeah. He's got some things to say.
Okay.
Yeah, he's gonna, yeah.
I'm sure he's from operations and so
yeah, he's the OG
hold on.
Yeah. He's the OG SEL. All right, Chief Stanton.
Hello, Refuel Radio. This is Chief Master Sergeant Stephen Stanton from the 465th Air Refueling Squadron. This shout out goes to Chief Master Sergeant Darren Wiseman, our command chief, that's getting ready to retire. And before we escort you to the gate and we promote you to guest, which will be your last promotion, I'd like to say a few words. I've served under many command chiefs, some small, some less so, but none possessed your unique blend of stature, a passion for wooden soldiers, and a toddler-like intensity for getting your way. This intensity extends to everything from acquiring the perfect nutcracker to assisting me with Wing Commander golf cart relocation during family day, providing it with a more strategic location. I've often wondered if your love for nutcrackers comes from a shared appreciation for compact power. Beneath that tough, nutcracking exterior beats a heart. You've steered the ship through the rough seas and the smooth sailing, through budget cuts and your epic PowerPoints. Your dedication to the 507 has been remarkable. Your passion for ensuring appropriate size cups for coffee, ample Crayolas for staff meetings, inspires us. So Chief, what adventures awaits? Building a life-size nutcracker castle or conquering that mountain of paperwork while perfecting the art of napping? From all of us, from the 465th Air Refueling Squadron, we offer our sincere congratulations. We'll miss your presence, your nutcrackers. Mostly, we'll miss your unique leadership. May your retirement be filled with joy, laughter, naps, snacks, coffee, and may God bless you and your family, as you will not be required to attend UTAs, but will you always be welcome. Best wishes in your next adventure.
Yeah.
Wow, that was really great. But what really shocked me was he was very eloquent in the way that he tied his words together. And that's not normal.
You don't hear that very often.
That's not normal.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. You're right. But that was super nice of him to put that together.
Absolutely.
And knowing him as well as we do, I could tell the effort that went in to put that together. It just shows how much he appreciates everything you've done. It does.
Yeah, it was great.
All right. Here is our MSG chief, Chief Bohannon.
All right.
Hey everybody, this is Chief Bohannon, the 507th MSG SEO. I have a quick message for Chief Wiseman as he heads into retirement. Just wanted to say thanks for everything you've done for me and my airmen over the last year during my time in the seat. I've truly appreciated working alongside of you, getting after the mission, taking care of people. And that's one thing I'll truly remember as one of your strengths is you care about people, you're approachable, and you're a pleasure to work with. Just looking forward to all the great things that you have ahead of you in your retirement and spending time with the family, and just hope you enjoy every minute of it. Thanks.
Yeah. Chief, when did we hire Chief Bohannon? How long ago was
about
that?
About a year or so ago. Okay. Yeah. And what a great pickup. I will tell you, it was very competitive for that position. But I could tell with the first phone call that I had with him that he truly cares about airmen, truly cares about the mission.
You bet.
And he is absolutely going to be a command chief in this command someday.
The MSG has got so much going on.
Right.
And when you're talking about the hires, you made strategic hires in each of the groups. Mm-hmm. The MSG needed someone like him. The organization, the leadership he brings is it's tremendous. So you're right. That was freaking key hire. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you and I were kind of discussing this off mic earlier today. But when I first was interviewed for the command chief job, one of the things I said to Colonel Parks, the former wing commander here, was that I believe in leading small and missing small. And when you hire the right people in the right positions that kind of have similar values that you do or see the vision of where they want to go with the reserve command, it makes my job easy.
Yeah.
And Chief Bohannon and the other chiefs, I mean, it has just fit really, really well.
Yeah.
And it's been then such a fun ride the last 2.5 years.
Yeah. How cliche is it to hear everyone says, surround yourself with the best people.
That's right.
And that's what this wing has done. That is what this wing has done. And I've said it in the past. I know we're going off script a little here because we're trying to play. I have a couple more for you, but that is the epitome of this tour for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you would agree. Decentralized execution, allowing people to thrive.
Right.
And allow them to command.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely.
Make decisions and fear not. I also... make the wrong decisions and our folks know that we got their backs.
Right.
If they make the wrong one, we readjust. Mm-hmm. That is the way we work, you know? So, and each one of these people, I think live by that mantra. All right. So now we have, Chief Heil, medical.
Hey, Chief Weisman, Chief Heil here. So for me, I mean, our first communication, goes back to my being contacted for the interview to come out, here and, it was a whirlwind for sure. When you interviewed me, I honestly felt like it went horribly wrong. And I did not think I was going to get the job. And then a couple hours after the interview, you called me. And the way that you started talking to me about how the interview went, some things that I needed to kind of think about moving forward for the next opportunity, I was just in my head saying, all right, well, I'm just going to wait and look for that next opportunity when it comes. I've got the experience of interviewing under my belt a little bit more. And then you conclude with, and with that, we'd like to offer you the position. And so I'm just eternally grateful to you for this opportunity. Since I've been at Tinker, I've been made to feel like an Okie from day one. And I could not be happier being here. And I do owe it all to you. You've been such a great mentor and advisor to me and to those of us at the MDS. Lieutenant Colonel Hike and myself have relied on you for some guidance on multiple occasions. And it's just been invaluable to us and how we lead the MDS. So greatly appreciate you and your time. You're going to be missed, but I do look forward to you enjoying your retirement, moving forward and spending more time with your family, which is important to you. So thanks again for everything. I can't thank you enough. Take care and best of luck to you on your next journey. Thanks.
Wow. That's so great.
Pretty cool.
That's funny that he brought that up. I forgot about.
Do you remember that phone call?
Yeah, I forgot about.
Did you do that on purpose?
So yes, because I don't know. That's just kind of part of who I am, I guess,
that's
and how
wonderful.
I deliver. We did a side note. We did a first sergeant interview yesterday, you know, trying to build up our core team.
Yeah.
And he comes in and the individual did a great interview in front of a panel of four people. And then at the close of it, I said, hey, interview's done. Great job. But I got a couple of things for you. And I expressed to him and I said, hey, listen, I'm not trying to be a jerk, just trying to be a good teammate because we have high standards here in the 507th and the 513th as well. And I just talked to him about his ribbons a little bit on how the device was just canted off from 45 degree angle, just slightly, you know, and talked about some other things and how his function badge was just a tad close to the line of half inch above his ribbon rack. And I'm doing this in front of the panel and he takes it in such great stride.
Cool. Yeah.
But that's just what I want to do. I want to help improve. I'm not here to, it's not about criticism, but we are all a reflection of each other. And I know we have the best team and I just want to keep getting better.
I won't even comment on that. That was perfect. All right. Last one. Chief Glover.
Oh,
Hello, my name is Chief Master Sergeant Alfonso Glover. I'm the Senior Enlisted Leader of the 513th Air Control Group. I just wanted to give my sincere congratulations to Chief Wiseman. He's been an outstanding command chief and also an advocate and supporter of the 513th. We've had a fantastic relationship. Brother, I have learned from you. You've been a great friend and mentor, and I cherish the camaraderie, the inclusion, right, and the advocacy for my airmen within the AOR. I know sometimes the NAF kind of put some limits on what we could or could not do, but you've always been in my corner and done what's best for me and my airmen, and I will always value that. Best of luck on your retirement. Good luck, and we will see you in the Funny Makers.
And some funny papers.
Funny papers. Cheers. You'll be funny making.
Yeah.
You'll still be funny making.
I love that. Yeah. Thanks for doing that. That's really nice that that they have positive words to say about
everyone wanted to be a part of it. And each one of them texted me and said thank you for asking them to be a part of it. So, and I wanted you here. There are so many people that want to say so long and thank you, but it would just get for this podcast.
Right.
I wanted you to hear from the SELs. That was my goal. So you could hear their thoughts. So now, go ahead. You about to say something?
Well, I find it, you know, I'm reflecting on a lot of stuff this last UTA in May. Yep. And even I was telling some folks earlier on Thursday, I believe I was driving in and just kind of overwhelmed, not in a weird way, but just overwhelmed at the memories that I've had here at the 507th, over the last 2.5 years, the interactions I've had with folks. And I don't want to spoil too many stories because I want to save them for my retirement speech.
Yeah, yeah.
But interactions with a senior airman inside of the supply warehouse and just going over how to write an EPB statement. And I was just passing through, but it was just an opportunity to just pause and sit down and engage. And I'll never forget things like that. And it was just very, very important to me. And it's really hard for me to hear things from these chiefs about me because it's not computing in my head as if things that I did or things that I, you know, started are great. I was just being a teammate, just being an airman and just doing the role that I was charged to do here at the, as a command chief. And so, yeah, you know, for me, it's almost hard to believe when someone says, you know, thank you for hiring me and this means something and you made an impact in my life. I'm still trying to figure out how to connect that, you know, because it's, for me, it's the other way around. You made an impact in my life, you know, because I'm going to carry these memories and these stories after the official retirement date. It's humbling, to be fair. Mm-hmm. Very humbling.
So to talk to us about a challenge you saw as you took the position and... I'm trying to stump you here.
Right, right. Okay, thanks. Yeah.
But we can edit this out. We can edit this out.
It's fine.
But just talk to us about some thoughts on from then to now, you know?
Yeah, I will say when I first heard that I was going to be the command chief at the 507th, this was my first opportunity to be a command chief. I had these preconceived ideas of what a command chief does in a wing. Possible the role that I'm going to carry, the leadership mantle, right? Charging forward, you know,
and wear the cape.
Everyone will follow, I promise. And I've read dozens and dozens of books about leadership, and I've watched others, you know, do this role. And and as Chief had mentioned in his audio, that I was coming from Air Mobility Command, which is where I'm a civilian at. So I've got some staff stink on me there. But my previous military assignment was the Force Generation Center. So folks thought I had Air Force Reserve Command staff stink on me.
I see.
And so they just thought he's coming in with his cliches and his priorities, and we're just going to have to fall in line. And I sort of had a leadership philosophy prior to coming. And I quickly realized probably within the first 30 days, it's going in the trash can, and everything I thought that I learned isn't going to work. Yeah. Right. There's not this script that you have to build prior to. And I quickly decided that what I wanted to do was get to know the people, what interests them, you know, what motivates them, what elevates them to the next level, and decided that's the servant I wanted to be, in the next 2.5 years, provide opportunities, mm-hmm. really get some folks maybe unstuck. You know, they thought they were just kind of passively getting by and realizing their potential.
Right.
And I just get to be a part of it as a cheerleader and as opposed to a nutcracker. Thank you, Stanton. But so that's just where I started that process. And it just kind of snowballed from there. And luckily enough, you know, we've had some personnel challenges. We've had some squadron challenges, mm-hmm. You know, some situations where and nothing's perfect, but situations where it could have been maybe a toxic work environment or at least something of that nature. And you really have to dig deep to start working through those right. those problems, right. Relying on your teammates, asking for advice. I think these are, you know, simple leadership principles, but very, very necessary. And I don't think the things that I've learned here about leadership, it's not massive muscle movements that matter. It's small rudder changes, and it really makes a massive impact down the road. And you kind of have to just wait it out. You got to anticipate that it's going to take a little bit, but just do it a slight adjustment on the rudder and you're going to go in the right direction. And so with some of those personnel challenges, and it's mainly mine, it's really deconstructing and reconstructing my leadership philosophy. And
all it's so dependent on where you are.
Yes.
And the wing you're leading. And, so I think you did, you read, you took courses, like you're building yourself up
right.
to this position. But if you'd gotten a 507th job versus a 433rd in Lackland right. or Niagara, like every situation's different
mm-hmm.
and yeah, people absolutely. Are different. Mm-hmm. And so you take those lessons learned and you apply what's necessary for that particular right. assignment, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we've all done that. We've mm-hmm. all done that. And you're right. Coming to this particular wing, in my opinion, what you said, small muscle movements, that's what this was all about, because
right.
the culture here is already, it's already mm-hmm. magnificent. Now it's the deployments, it's the UEIs,
yes.
it's executing the mission.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that leadership really, I think, was tested.
Mm-hmm.
The other stuff, this place has got it all. It's going.
Absolutely.
It's going strong. And my goal is to step in and allow that to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal is I'm not a roadblock, is to not be that roadblock.
Right.
How do we get to yes, if it's the right thing to do, and to allow this place to keep trucking,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think you've been absolutely massively instrumental in that, not just on the enlisted side, from every airman in the wing.
Right. And I think it really matters in the right mix when it comes to the triad team. And
yeah.
And every wing is going to be a little bit different. Every
yeah.
squadron leadership team will be a little bit different. But everyone on the triad, commander, the chief SEL, and the first sergeant, have to be able to humble themselves, step back, and say, hey, we are forming our new identity together, not three different identities trying to mash. And
yeah.
I think for us, I believe we've been able to do that. And what that does is it trickles down perspectively
yeah.
to
yeah.
The groups, the squadrons, and they see, all right, there is a great relationship that can happen. You know, you and I don't agree on stuff behind closed doors on certain things.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
and I'm okay with that, you know, completely respecting that. And that's okay. But none of these guys, when we roll out, you know,
right.
they see
You're
the
right.
unification that we have
right.
and the relationship we have. And those that have listened in the previous podcast, and if you haven't, go back to previous episodes. There's only 7. So you're not going to go back too far. But, you know, we went to the melting pot together. Right. I mean, that was a relational bonding moment.
It was a mistake, for the record. I thought it was a good steak restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how I thought that when it's called the melting pot. But we did sit next to newlyweds,
yeah.
20th anniversary couples. We blended right in.
Yeah. I was gone a lot last year in military status.
Yeah.
And my wife thought I dated you more than her. So
my kids are pretty certain that you and I are the best of boyfriends.
Yeah.
Like my
yeah.
daughter's like, when's he coming back? You know, when's, yeah. But this wing, it's an, even when you're a TR
right.
and you have your civilian, you're still the command chief. And it every day there's a, and I'm just speaking, I've been on orders here, but as a TR, I've been a TR since 2008
uh-huh.
and I know what it is to have that responsibility. It's not just because you're not on order.
Right.
You're still the command chief or the mm-hmm. SEL or the commander that, even when you're not on an order per se, people
yeah.
still need you. That leadership's still required.
Well, I've appreciated the relationship over the last year and a half, 2 years
yeah.
that you've been the wing commander. And it's really helped me. It's empowered me to do the things that give me passion and give me the sense of accomplishment. And so it's made this job relatively easy to be able to connect with airmen. And so I just want to say I appreciate that. And I was going to tell you this off mic, but I'm going to tell you this on mic. I was watching you talk with your family. You know, obviously, whenever we're interacting, they're usually calling in and they're chatting with you and things. Just the other day, I was reminded you were talking to your daughter, and as you were talking with her, she's like telling you stuff, and then it reflected back to a TDY you and I were on. We were in DC. She's calling you because she's nervous about a thing, you know, and she's just talking to you. It's really the relationship was so pure, and I loved it. And I thought this morning, I really hope that my daughter Violet and I have the same relationship that you and cool Paisley here. Have. But that's the kind of relationship that we have. I'm noticing things now that beyond the uniform. And I think that's part of the strength that we have as a team. Mm-hmm.
You bet. You bet. Well, and one of the things that we don't talk about enough about is listening. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter the position you're in, whether you're the command chief or the commander, the newest E1, everyone has a role.
Right.
And everyone's got their leadership attributes, and everyone has things to say. But sometimes more importantly, we have things to listen. Mm-hmm. Or things that, you know, there are things that people are saying that, and we just need to be able to listen. And I've learned that sometimes the hard way, and how important that is. But thanks for saying that. It's not all perfect. Well, my daughter definitely doesn't think I'm perfect. but she's actually funny. We got on the phone right before this started, and she's going to Baylor next year, and she's a senior in high school. And gosh, my wife and I are nervous.
Only imagine.
Yep. But a lot like you are right now about the future. What's next? You know. Right. So speaking of. One of the last things I want to hit is what are your thoughts on what's next? What takes the place of the time other than your family? I know your family's going to get more time on your calendar, but what are you thinking?
You know, I've been asked that question a lot. They said, well, what are you doing next? So putting it into context, I'm turning 43 this year. I'm a command chief about to retire. I really can't collect any kind of what I would call true retirement days until 59 and a half at this point. I still work as a civil servant for Air Mobility Command. Got 25 years of service as a civil servant, probably continuing that. And so I've had to reflect that question, like, what's next? I think some folks may think, oh, you've really reached the top. And I want to tell our listeners, I'm just getting started. And I'm really excited about redefining who I am as an individual, redefining myself as a dad, as a husband, redefining myself and getting involved as a community leader. I think that there's a lot of things the Air Force, and we kind of take it for granted possibly, but the Air Force and the Reserve Command teach us leadership. Mm-hmm. Like, and as we start to look all the development and skills that we have, we can actually make a massive difference in our local community. I'm currently on the school board locally, being involved in a lot of decisions that are happening that are impacting the students and the surrounding constituents. And I'm thinking about maybe city alderman, you know, next year as I kind of start looking towards the future on how I can be a better citizen in the United States. And that's part of it. Local church as well, getting a little bit more involved there.
Gosh, I envy this.
Serving, you know, whether it's soup kitchens, but I'm just going to have some time to be able to strategize that out and just see where it goes. I'm not normally the kind of guy that says, let's just see what happens. Mm-hmm. But I need to take a year to start mapping out some life goals.
Gotcha. Well, whatever you decide to do, I can only imagine, I'm not there yet, but I think about it when friends like you close to me decide to retire. Like I start thinking about how am I going to fill? There's a void there that has been filled for me 25 years.
Right.
What is that? And what you just elaborated, I feel I will go down the very similar paths. Yeah. I've already got my fingers in some of those buckets because I want to give back, you know, in your communities. That's what a great place to do it.
Yeah. And I think it's important that we don't define ourselves by the uniform we wear, because I think that's a tripwire, because when we do retire, then we really start to panic. But again, it's very difficult. I've been in uniform since I was 17 years old.
It's a lot easier said than done. And not rank has nothing. I'm talking about wearing the flight suit,
right?
Wearing OCPs, wearing that uniform. There's an identity.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with rank or position. It's everything that you're a member of the military. When that's not there any longer, it really makes you think. Sure does.
Absolutely.
It's what you said about not defining you. Well, I hope that that's not the case, but it's played such a part in my life. it's hard for it not to have affected that somehow, you know?
Right, right. But yeah, and I'm sure I'll go through the stages of grief after June.
Yeah, we all will.
Yeah,
all will.
Julie, being the smartest in my family, has told me, hey, you're not going to sense it now, but you're going to sense it 6 months from now.
Yeah.
And it'll be really tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's good because we, you know, the month of May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And we need to be cognizant that things outside things do affect us. And it's okay not to be okay is the term, you know, is the theme for this month. Mm-hmm. And I've mentioned at our pre-UTA standup, you know, it's okay for me not to be okay. It's okay for this process to be sad that this uniform is no longer going to be a part of my life. It'll be in a footlocker, if you will, staged away till I'm probably 80 years old. And hopefully my grandkids want to take a look at it and not send it to Goodwill. Right.
Some of our stuff will be sent to Goodwill.
More than likely.
Yeah. Well, so kind of wrap this episode Ocho up. There's a Dr. Seuss kind of a goodbye saying that I quote I loved. And it was yesterday brought the beginning. Tomorrow brings the end. But somewhere in the middle there, we became the best of friends.
Right.
And I think that's exactly what's happened here. Never thought I would be calling my command chief, a person that I thought I was just going to be working with.
Right.
One of my best friends for life. Mm. But that's exactly what this has turned out to be. And on that discussion we had earlier today about maybe hiking the Scotland or going to Austria and hiking a couple 14ers. I hope those things happen because I couldn't ask for a better person to go along and do those kind of things with.
Yeah, so, I appreciate that. And do you mind if I have last thoughts on the podcast?
This doesn't happen very often.
I know.
Yeah, go ahead. What's up? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, for all that are listening, whether it's folks in the Reserve Command, but I just really want to kind of target the Okies. I truly do love you. I'm not sure exactly kind of what that when you hear that, what that makes you feel, or that's weird for a command chief. But when you really dissect it down to the very core essence of what love is, it's sacrificial. And I would tell you, I have given everything that I feel like that I could have. So I hope that folks feel the love that I have for you. I hope that you know that, you know, the time spent, the time that you guys spend away from your families and you guys sacrifice, that you're pouring that love back into the wing as well. I mean, this place is a hidden gem and moments are fleeting. Time is a gift. Mm-hmm. And so spending it wisely is really what matters. You got to invest in each other, take time for yourselves, but you have to be ready. Because I think the world is ever changing and the threats are getting more and more. From what we can tell. And so we're going to need each other. And you know, I'm sad. I'm going to have to sit on the sidelines here.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to kind of watch it from the sofa. But I will tell you, if the call comes and you call me up, then I want to get in the game. But I truly am going to miss everyone. And I'm going to miss this podcast. But maybe I'll launch my podcast on the side.
You can compete?
And I may. Compete? It won't be the world's government podcast. You won't podcast, be the government.
Okay, good.
But it'll be an individual podcast. Okay. and I'll constantly give shout outs and credit to Refuel Radio.
All right. Well, Refuel Radio was a concept that, yes, we developed together, but ultimately you had that idea and we all jumped on it and we had the right folks to make this happen.
Right.
So what a blessing this has been. Without you here, it will definitely not be the same. That's a fact, but we will do the best we can to carry it on, you know, and I'm sure you'll have comments. I'm sure continue to say things that you want to make fun of and feel free to call me, tell me when you hear it. But, thanks for everything you've done, Chief. Thanks for being here, being an Okie, and we will see you at the, I guess your retirement's in a month from now. Cause it's May right now, but, in June, we'll all be there rooting you on with your family.
I promise I'll be there too.
All right. Refuel Radio. Episode Ocho is out. Thanks.
Bye.
And this war we're fighting today and tomorrow and the next day until we win is a war of the air.